Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dean Blundell Show at deanblundell.com. My name is Dean, which is awesome. It's also the name of the program. Anyway, thanks for joining us live on YouTube, DeanTube, Periscope, Twitch TV as well, Dean Blundell TV on Twitch, and wherever you get your fine podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. And, of course, brought to you by our friends at Owner's Box Weekly Fantasy Sports. Sign up for your Owner's Box account. Get up to $100 deposit dough today. We love playing fantasy sports, and I know you do. Owner's Box is your premier weekly fantasy sports platform. Free to sign up, fully customizable, self-contained. You can play for free or real money. And if you put $100 in, they'll bonus you another $100. So you get $200 instead of $100. Because they want to bonus you. It's free money. Owner's Box matches that deposit. Make Sundays great again. Sign up at ownersbox.com today. Blue Microphones, the official mic of the DeanBlundell.com network, sponsors of the show pod contest. We're going to pick one lucky podcast to join our network. Lucky? I think not. Anyway, they're all lucky because they're going to get some Blue Microphone equipment. They're going to get a mic stand, Blue Yeti X. Also get a pair of these headphones, which I love so much. And all you got to do is sign up, leave us a link to your website, your podcast. We'll check it out and we'll get in touch with you. Head over to deanblundell.com for more information on the Blue Mics. Show us your mic, show us your pod link. Enter now. And Gitch, the show today brought to you by our friends at Ed's Fine Imports and Gitch, the number one luxury underwear on the planet. If you need to shop for dad or someone who identifies as male who loves luxury boxer briefs, order three pairs of the world's greatest boxer briefs and get the fourth for free when you use promo code Gitch3 at edsfineimports.com. Again, Gitch3, the number three, your promo code, four pairs of luxury boxer briefs, comfy built-in sling bag for your nutsack at edsfineimports.com. Until I figure out exactly what I'm doing with the show, and I think I better be honest off the hop here because I find that to be valuable, is that I haven't, up until now, I mean, just as far as tech, put a ton of effort into any of these podcasts. like zero. And from a planning perspective. And it's only because I fucking can't bring myself to do it. And I couldn't until today. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm really lost in this fucking crazy world sometimes when it comes to doing podcasts as opposed to radio shows, because radio shows gross me right the fuck out. They have for a long time, which is why I won't do it anymore. I still think that it's a great medium and I love it. And we'll get to it in some of the job losses in the traditional media world this week. But bottom line is I haven't had to do a ton of work, but I wanted to do some work for this podcast. And the reason why I wanted to is because I'm joined by our next guests who were longtime morning show hosts in the city of Toronto, radio legends in the city of Toronto, JJ and Mel from formerly of Flow 93.5. Is that right? Am I getting that right? 93.5?
Yeah.
I get it confused with 95.3 all the time. Because there's another
same
one.
Numbers.
There's another one that played like soccer mom music that was like 95.3. And then there was you guys that were banging out the hits, banging out the rap hits, the solely rap hits. So I want to apologize if I get that wrong. And apparently I didn't. And I've just over explained it anyway.
You got it. You got it.
How are you guys? This is awesome. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. When was the last time we actually, because we met once or twice. Is that true, JJ? I think your memory is probably a lot better than mine.
Yeah. So I actually did a really quick stint at The Edge mm-hmm. in 2002. And you had just started. Mm-hmm. When did you start The Edge?
2001. April 23rd, 2001. I think.
Not that you're keeping track.
No.
Yeah, and you called to, you're like very friendly. You called to, well, I was doing the weekends. Vishna had just left, and I was taking her role. I don't know if you remember Vishna.
I do. Yeah, one of the greatest announcers of all
dynamite.
Time.
Gorgeous voice.
Well, yes, but she had a habit of overdoing it. Like she would forget where she was sometimes. Like she asked Gordy Johnson a Big Sugar once. Still one of my all-time favorites. She was interviewing him on the air, and she's like, so, and Gordy was going to go to the Blue Jays game and do the national anthem, and he was coming on to talk about it, right? So stopped in the studio, talked to Vishna, and she's like, so What song are you doing tonight at the Blue Jays game? And he goes, well, the Canadian national anthem. And she goes, and tell me about that song. And then another time she was like, she called.
That might have been something that I would have said. just out of sheer nervousness. Like, tell me about the anthem. How do you feel? Is your heart glowing? Let me know.
Yeah, but that was like an hourly thing. So I but she was great. She was nice, wonderful, and yeah. And I think remember giving you a call. But
you called me and welcomed me. It was very nice. I was very nervous.
Before the show.
Before and during the show, I was nervous.
Why?
I come from, pop music, and energy went away out of Hamilton, Burlington. Mm-hmm. To the Edge, and I can't remember who the PD was or the APD.
Neil Mann. Chewed his fingernails right off.
What's that?
Chewed his fingernails right off.
Did he? Yeah. Well, he was there trying to encourage me, and it was just like, dude, you gotta back off. You're making me nervous. And then you called, and then he left, and you called, and you were very encouraging and welcoming, and you talked about you being a new guy and what it's, how you were related to, that and how I was the new guy. And then like 2 months later I left. So it didn't last long. And then I bumped into you at the liquor store once.
Yes.
Loblaws.
Yeah. Mel, imagine meeting me at the liquor store at Loblaws.
Yeah. Back in the good old days.
Yeah. And I remember because you came up to me and you introduced yourself to me and I was like, yeah, great to see you. Great to meet you. And I remember that because we were in that little liquor store kiosk that they had at the corner of the Loblaws at Queens Quay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long you guys were there because how long were you at Flow for? Do you call it Flow or the Flow?
Flow.
It was Flow.
Is it still the Flow?
It's Flow again.
Oh.
It wasn't the Flow.
Okay.
Flow. It was never the Flow.
It was never the Flow.
Flow and then the Move. And now it's Flow again.
What a fucking garbage name for a radio station. The Flow.
Which one?
Did you feel weird saying it at all?
Did you feel weird doing the call letters? I liked Flow.
Yeah.
I did. I just felt like there was a great legacy.
Mm.
Yeah.
With behind that name. And then when they changed to the Move, I was like, what? This is a huge mistake, and clearly it was, because now they're back to Flow.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were there for down there on Yonge Street, because I'd wave at you in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were at that spot for 6 years, Mel?
Like right. I think about that. Yeah.
Were you guys up on top of Pier 1? It was Pier 1 at the time. Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
Did
you ever see anything weird happen at our studios? You guys ever look down and go, what the fuck are those losers doing?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably a number. I don't remember a lot of that. I remember looking over going, man, those studios are so beautiful. We didn't quite have the same studios there.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, they weren't as nice.
Yeah, that was weird. It was a weird time. It was like such a fucking competitive time in radio too, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We weren't even allowed. Like, it was so weird. I was saying, we said this on our episode last night, just that we were going to be chatting with you. And like, to me, it's, I mean, I love that we can publicly, be friends, say hello, support each other on social media, where before, back in the day, even though we weren't hitting the same demographic, there was this, you don't even like whisper their name, mm-hmm. There was so much competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that it's not like that anymore, but.
That mostly happened when we went corporate, when we started working for CTV and Bell Media.
Mm.
That's when we weren't allowed to say anybody's name, and they were encouraging us to not be friends with other announcers from other stations on Twitter and Facebook. And
you were told that? You were told you couldn't be friends with any other radio people? That's fucking awesome.
We were encouraged not to.
What do you mean? Yeah. What do they say when they tell you who you can and can't interact with on Twitter?
Just that.
It was
Are you
kinda
serious?
Like,
what did they say?
Don't support it. Just like, don't support it kind of thing. You're showing support to someone else. I can't remember how it went exactly.
They used the Chevy Ford analogy. They always used the Chevy Ford analogy.
Why is that? Why always with the Chevy and Ford analogy?
I don't know. So it was a
Why not Coke and Pepsi? Why not Coke and Pepsi?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it was all Americans over there at in that building, in the Chum building. So they related to cars,
I guess. I've never, you know what? It's funny because that time was such a fucking competitive time. And I never, you know, and I think this may have earned me a bit of a reputation, but I would sewer any other radio show in the city if it helped me. I would. And poor Mad Dog, who I'm friends with now, I absolutely eviscerated that guy for 10 to 15 years. And then when I was done in radio and I walked into a hallway with him at it, I'm like, okay, now fuck, there you go, hotshot. Go introduce yourself to this guy that has a job. Like, you know, like go and do that. And it was funny because I still feel the same way. Like, I still feel like I didn't get up at 4 o'clock in the fucking morning to lose. Right. Does that make sense? You guys did a morning show as well. And I always appreciated good people in those positions. But and if I saw you at a club or I saw you at a part, I wasn't much of a club guy. If I was, I was geared down. So you probably wouldn't have meant anything anyway. But if I knew now what I didn't know then and I know what I know now, I would do the exact same fucking thing.
Would you really?
Oh yeah. But not as mean. Like I wouldn't be as terse and shitty about it. But there was back then, and there still is to some extent, because I do it with guys like Steve Simmons and Bruce Arthur and generally just disgusting people that I don't like. And only people that deserve it. Like there's a deserved thing with me now. Where back then there wasn't. I used to make jokes about everybody, didn't care about their sexuality, didn't care about where they were from, didn't care about the color. I thought everybody could take a joke. I didn't consider history. I didn't consider life. I didn't consider, you know, what everybody else went through. So, and to some extent, I still don't care, but I only don't care about those people that deserve it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I'm wondering if you ever came after us and we didn't know it.
I don't think so. No, I wouldn't.
No, we weren't even on the radar, JJ.
No, I suppose not.
What do you mean? Of course you were.
I'm pretty sure we never, our names were never dropped in any meetings over across the street at the Edge.
No, but we never met about that kind of stuff. It would just come out. Like it would just be one of those things where I would get a tweet from someone saying, hey, this guy stole a bit you did the day before. Remember we used to do bits? Remember bits? Let's do a bit.
I'm still doing bits, Dean.
Are you doing bits?
Still on the air.
Are you? Yeah, that's right. We'll get to that in a second. But
not nearly as cheese as it used to be, though.
It's not?
I don't think so. I think the world of podcasting has changed how, I'm speaking for myself. I think the world of podcasting has changed my approach on the air. It's more relaxed. It's a little calmer. You know, back in the day, it was pretty rigid. I think, JJ, you can speak to that. I mean, it was, I felt like very planned and, you know, but it's not like that anymore.
I never felt planned. And maybe that's why we got along so well. That's our chemistry was that. I always felt like where I was flying by the seat of my pants, and Melanie, you know, she was kind of the keel of the whole thing, kind of keeping everything steady. So,
go ahead. Continue.
I was just gonna say we never did it. We never, and it's probably because we would get eviscerated. We never went after anybody. We never, you know, had any enemies. I know Mad Dog, and I would never bring up your name. I would never bring up any other jock's name. I don't know. And I still feel like we had that fighting spirit. I just felt like our fight was to just do our own thing. People would always encourage us to listen. I think I've talked to you about this, to listen to other radio. And I was like, I don't want to listen to other radio. I want to do our thing. And hopefully, you know, people will start to like it and be endeared to it. And I think they were.
How long were you guys there for at the Flow? Oh, sorry, Flow. Pardon me.
10 years.
10 years. Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Just short of 10 years. Yeah.
Long time. Was it, was it the definitive time in your work life?
I would say yes for me. Yeah.
Why?
I mean, obviously the longevity of that morning show and, the connection with JJ. I mean, like that's, you know, it's like you gotta find something with someone when you're doing radio with a co-host. And I think we had something special, you know, and
We got a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfiltered with JJ and Mel, by the way, which you can download at Spotify, iTunes, etc. You can get it at deanblundell.com. And it's fucking awesome, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean,
we have a lot of fun.
It's really, really good. Like, if you put that on the radio anywhere, it would be huge because it's actually probably what you guys enjoy doing.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. It's completely different. But JJ and I did a lot of growing too through those years, right? Like I look back on it now and I was like, fuck, I feel like I was so young to be on the air. Like I just, you know, I made so many mistakes personally. JJ and I went through a lot of things together.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a huge time. I mean, it's the like prime 10 years.
Like what? What did you guys go through that you're willing to share with me?
Well, I was a bit bossy.
Were you bossy?
I love my bossy.
Talk about the day I quit on the air.
You quit on the air? I didn't fucking know that. Are you okay there, Mel? You're going to be all right?
I'm just, my girls.
Do you want to adjust?
I'm trying. Fuck, I am so sick of being on video all the time. We've talked about I hate it so much.
Yeah.
And I can see myself and my boobs are falling out.
Yeah.
Gained a few pounds. They're a little bigger than my bra can manage.
Now, are you distracted
by my own?
Are you stating fact or are you trolling? Because I've just learned about this too. When people say stuff to troll, like my boobs are bigger now, so ha ha. Is that a troll or is that
no?
Okay, I'm just asking.
I'm not trolling myself. No.
No, it's not. it's not yourself. It's other people. It's other guys.
Yeah. No.
Sorry. Back to what you were talking about before you started.
Were the boobs interrupted?
Yeah.
Sorry.
The ladies.
It's a thing.
An explosion. what are those some things that you went through? Like hard shit that you guys went through together, obviously. Which is the stuff that forges morning shows or on-air people for a long period of time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We went through, five different management changes over the course of the nine, almost 10 years we were together. Really different personalities. Different approaches to radio. I quit. I mean, well, first of all, I quit on air and then came back the next day. But then I left in 2010 for 10 months. And that was a big mistake. And then got rehired again. So those types of things kind of, you know, we didn't not like each other is an overstatement. It's not the right words, but we definitely, there was a lot of friction in the early days, personality clashes. But as I've said numerous times, there was definitely a love hate there. And there was definitely a lot of potential for some great chemistry. And we, you know, we worked through it through our ups and downs. When you're put in the struggle, when you're put in the suck, you know, you create a camaraderie and a team, you know, like when you're at war, right? Not comparing it to war. But I am comparing it to war.
Yeah. Well, it's the only, right. It's the only war that we know. It's a pretty big word. But that's what you go through. I had no idea that you quit on air. That's a fucking boss
dude,
move.
He walked out on me.
Why?
He fucking walked out on me.
What happened?
Oh, I don't know. I was telling him what to do again. It was just one of those hard days. I can't remember.
No, you don't say I don't remember. That's what someone says.
I really don't. I don't remember.
Who's guilty of doing whatever it was that led to whatever happened. That's someone.
I don't remember the details. I remember
JJ does. JJ's dying to tell me the details. You don't
remember the details. For sure he is. JJ.
How could I not remember the day I quit and walked out? Long story short,
here we go.
Yes, conflict.
Somebody in the room was being bossy. She said it already. He was being bossy and
about
content or production or whatever it was. Which
something probably wasn't good enough for me on the air.
Perhaps. And I think that there were young interns also in the room. And
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that was the thing. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck this. And I recall standing up, flipping over a chair, kicking over a box, and walking out. And it was like, totally not me. But it was like,
Oh God,
I was pushed to my limits. And listen, we're over this. This is obviously something we can laugh about now.
Hang on. I'm not done with it. Mel.
So embarrassing.
2008. It was so long ago.
I want to die.
I'm not done.
And then Mel chased me out to the street.
Told you to come
I'm
back.
I'm like, fuck you. It's over. I quit. And I called the boss because it was still early. And his answering machine picked up. And I'm like, I'm done. I've had it. And she starts to cry. And I'm getting mad, and I start walking home, and she.
I don't think I cried.
Shut up. I recall you crying. I recall tears.
That was for dramatic effect to get you back.
It was a card you were playing.
Yeah.
It fucking works. And
so you chased me up Young Street, and I'm pretty sure you guys were watching, because we were standing outside Pier 1 yelling at each other.
Was it in the winter?
No, it was summer.
Oh, well, no, I don't remember it. I just remember,
okay.
I think I would see Mel walk into the studio like literally 3 seconds before six. And she would be wearing like this winter, like fluffy hood. What was it, white? Yeah. Were you wearing a white coat, like winter coat that was like totally not winter appropriate?
Yeah, probably.
Neither were some of your clothes.
Sounds about right.
None of us complained. We just kept watching you walk into work.
Hey, you know, we've both grown since those times. I don't want to paint my friend out to be like this, like evil person and bossy person. And we both had our quirks and our issues. And, you know, it was the first few years of us being together. Right. In fact, when I got hired, I was the board op for her show, the producer for her show. And she was on with another guy, and they got rid of him and kind of moved me into the co-host position. So she, at that point, she was probably used to, you know, barking orders at me because that was my role at the time. Is that safe to say? Was that fair? Is that a fair thing? I don't want to,
you know, yeah. Like, you know, the thing is, again, I mean, I've grown since then, but
absolutely.
I came from a situation where I had spent 4 years with a previous morning show, and it was my first gig in radio was mornings. Like, I was on Z first out of Humber College. That was my first gig. And, you know, learning from those co-hosts, it was a little bit harder times, you know, and there was very high expectations.
What does that mean? Harder times? Something you're like, I see your face. This is the part you said, I hate doing fucking video. I fucking love video because I can see your face. You're going like this. This is what you're doing. And I can read everybody like a book. You're going, it was harder times.
Well, I mean, I don't spend time on that. I don't want to talk about it, actually.
Okay. Well, I've been told. Thank you.
Yeah. But no, but it's there was some lessons I think learned there, but I also felt that I picked up some of the ways that I don't know how to like what JJ said, to bark orders or whatever. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like that was normal. And until JJ was like, dude, I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're in a bad relationship or a guy's telling you what to do or you're telling him what to do, and you're like, that one person decides that's it. And like, you can't do this anymore. It's over. And you have a heart attack and you're like, shit, I got to change. Like, this isn't going to work. You know,
was that the impetus for the change in your relationship? Do you think?
I think so. I think that's after cool. that, I mean, I still had moments. We both had moments, but
sure.
I think that was like, shit, I don't want to lose this person, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. You know, I will say this.
JJ, first, I didn't want to lose you.
I will say this, is that I think there's something to be said about what you said about taking your habits by working for different people. You got trained in that capacity. But I also think there's something to be said for the fact that we were all really fucking young and stupid and hot-tempered. Mm. You know,
and
you grow up and you learn, and it doesn't need to be an excuse anymore, right? Listen, would I take a million things I said to people? I laugh because it's like, I think about some of the shit that I said to people that piss me off or punching holes in walls on the way to the bathroom or the back because the timing on the post wasn't perfect, like that kind of shit. Yeah. And I think, why the fuck? What entitlement? Where did you think you came from at any point in time that you could do any of that? That mm-hmm. came with this privilege that you were given to be able to do a show like that. So mm-hmm. you know, yeah. it's interesting because when life kicks you in the nuts, you can either choose to learn from how much it hurt and try to avoid those situations again, or you can just keep getting kicked in the genitals, I guess. I just choose not to anymore. But yeah. I think that's the beauty of age, right? You know, that's the beauty with time. That's the beauty of growing up. Yeah.
I mean, you have to go through those things to learn. You have to go through them to learn lessons, period. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Why were you punching walls? You were punching walls?
I did it all.
Oh my God.
I had some of the most epic meltdowns, but I would never let anybody see it unless I was trying to prove a point. And yes, punched holes in walls, ripped doors off of handles, lots of dumb shit. Rarely at work. But we had this fucking fire alarm in the studio. And because we were in the Eaton Center, if the fire alarm, when they would test it at like 7:30 in the morning when we're killing a break, and all you would hear is emergency, there's a fire, exit the building. And it was like fucking nonstop. And then when that wasn't going on, it was woo, woo, woo. So we literally had to stop these breaks in the middle of it. And this went on for like 2 years. And so finally, I brought a sledgehammer in from home, just a little handheld sledgehammer. And I kept it under my desk. And I said, the next time that fucking thing goes off, I'm going to beat the shit out of it. And sure enough, it went off one morning and live on the air. I took a hammer to it and we recorded the whole thing and then it was over. And then we got fined like $50,000 by the Eaton Center for destroying me.
Yeah.
But you know, the great part about that whole experience was because our show was so huge, they were like, don't worry about it.
It's fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Holes in the walls. Don't worry about it. But embarrassing nonetheless. Like if, you know, there are things that are important. Those things are fucking not important. You realize the importance mm-hmm. of life when you go through life. So when did you guys, what have you been doing? So how long have you been gone from Flo?
This is, I think, 4 years for me. It's 4 years.
Yeah. Like three for me, two.
Two for you?
Two and a half, something like that.
Three for you,
maybe
JJ.
Three.
Yeah. And did you quit? Did you guys quit or because I am not familiar there. Were you both let go?
I was let go almost a year before JJ, right?
Yeah. And then they stuck me with a new co-host and that wasn't happening. And I think it was just their way of covertly transitioning away from JJ and Melanie by at least keeping JJ and then bringing in another host, co-host, and then 86ing me out the back door and bringing in who they really wanted. And that's who's there now. That's just a theory, but I don't know. It kind of really works.
I don't think they have a morning show there now, though. Do they? I don't think they do.
They, unless somebody got fired in all the firings that happened yesterday. But yeah, they do. They had like the show from the States. They had a syndicated show.
And that sucked.
It didn't work. I mean, Toronto has a vibrant hip hop scene. What do you want a New York hip hop morning show pop station? So I think they tried that and didn't work. And they had put the morning show in the afternoon and now they're back in the morning. As far as I know, I don't listen.
I don't know if it's good or bad that I have absolutely no fucking idea what's going on in radio other than.
No, it's.
Other than I don't know if you guys heard, it was like 100 people got fired from Rogers yesterday, and then Bell gassed a whole bunch of morning shows, and the station that I worked at in Windsor, which was, I could not fucking believe it. It was yesterday. I get a note from a friend of mine, and he's like, hey, listen, just so you know, 89X is like shutting down. They're just turning the whole thing off and then putting a bunch of country music on the next day. And so one of the guys that works with us, his name's Mark McKenzie. He was doing mornings at 89X at the time. He's got a podcast here called the Mark and Hookie Podcast, and it's fucking great. and I'm going to talk to him tonight. But that is the way radio's going. And I don't want to crap on Mel's livelihood because you're still on the radio and you do a fantastic job up in Barrie with this guy named Chris. And you're still by far one of the best announcers on the radio without question, but do you have, you know, being in the business, is, does that kind of stuff, do you go, like,
I actually, Chris is the one who told me about everything. My current co-host, I don't pay attention anymore. I really don't. I mean, obviously news of that magnitude, 100 people across Canada eventually was going to come to me, but I don't really pay attention. But it's sad. I mean, shit, like it's tough to see our industry going through my industry. JJ's still in radio as well. I mean, obviously, a little different, but like it's sad to see. You don't want to see anybody lose their gigs, and especially people who are still like super passionate about radio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I still love the medium.
Mm-hmm.
But am I as passionate as I was before? I'm not sure. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I've changed a lot, and, but there are so many people who still are, and it's sad to see them losing their gigs and like right before Christmas and like, it sucks.
That's the real motherfucker. Can I say motherfucker?
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck.
That's the real motherfucker about radio is the amount of loyalty they demand, yet they never reciprocate, like not even close.
Mm.
Just like humans, we're humans on this side. Yeah, personalities, and we come off like cartoons sometimes. But for human beings, then it's just us, the shittiest of the shit part of this industry. And it keeps getting worse. Like it used to be, I can, you know, I got 4 years. You know what I mean? That was actually, it used to be like, this is my career now. And then it went to like 8 years and then kind of 4 years. And now it seems like 6 to 9 months, the axe starts swinging. Does that sound accurate?
At radio stations, yeah.
Yeah, like you're ducking every 6 to 9 months, you know, like, oh, fuck, here it comes again.
Yeah, yeah, the start of each fiscal, right? Depending on when a company's fiscal is. Some is in September, some obviously Jan 1, with the start of the new year. But that's really when it depends. You see the mass firings in companies in radio where their fiscal started in September 1st, and that was, you know, the Rogers of the world. But, you know, I will give credit as much as it sucks. And I don't know that this is a conversation that's really fucking exciting for people, but as much as it sucks, if you're in radio now and you're listening to this or you're watching this, none of this was your fault.
Mm-hmm.
This is the weirdest, shittiest fucking time in the history of traditional media. Have they done it to themselves from a personal perspective? Fuck, totally they have. Radio has this history of treating human beings like absolute shit, almost to the point where they don't exist after the effort that you put in for 10, 12, 15 years, where they just wipe you from the history and the annals of everything you've ever done. So that's another whole separate story.
Yeah,
And that'll happen here too, right? Because they need to protect whatever investments they have. And so they don't want other people coming back to take any of their stuff, whatever is left. Radio is so fucked right now. And I read a report. It's called Tram Report. You guys know what Tram Reports are? Sales reports. I'm into that stuff. I'm a nerd. Radio sales in Toronto are off by 55%. 55%. When I say off, I mean that way. That off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, and on top of it, they've been losing. So has TV. Print is finished, but they've been losing 5 to 10% on their evaluation and in their revenue generation world for the last 10 years, year over year. So combine that to the 55% losses. This is not a business that can operate on any less than like 30% margins either. I know I'm speaking financial terms, but my point is this, is that the pandemic has resulted in absolutely no ratings periods for anybody, unless you're in a few big markets. So you get no ratings. You can't sell anything if you don't have ratings. Plus tuning is off like 70%. And that's no fault of the people that got fired. Do you know what I mean? That's no fault of the individuals who lost their jobs who do morning shows. It's no fault to the program directors and the copywriters and the news crews and all these different people that have had their lives completely fucking upended. The great part is that I and other people like you guys are living proof. There's lots of hope. There's lots of work. But it's still a fucking struggle for a lot of people because that's their identity. It's more than just a job in radio, is it not? Because you love it so much, JJ and Mel, it's your fucking identity.
Of course.
Yeah. One of them, at least.
Yeah.
One of my identities.
Yeah. Anyway,
Well, yeah, I think that firing, well, like all of that, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's a big result of COVID and the times we're in. But also, I mean, almost all of the companies are downsizing regardless. You're getting, you know, morning shows now that are syndicated across Canada. And
they're just, shit. That's the thing is that they've like I mean this from the bottom of my fucking heart, because I've listened to you guys, I've watched you guys, I know you a little bit. If they took you two, if a radio station took both of you and said, we want you to do a morning show and we want it to be a digitally focused morning show because you guys have big social followings, you understand how to do content, you bridge the gap from fucking digital into your world, you'd be huge because you're good at your jobs. The people that are being fired because radio couldn't pay good people to do those jobs were being paid very little.
Yeah.
And the great part is, I don't know if they've ever, tell me if you've heard this radio before. This is fucking one of my greatest sayings of all time. One of my favorites of all time. If you don't like it, there's a lineup outside that door.
Oh, fuck. Dude.
Somebody else wants to be in your chair.
If you don't like it, if you don't like it.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of people standing outside that'll do your job for free.
That's right.
So you're 50% pay cut. Enjoy it. At least you're
Thing is,
30 kids at Humber who want your job.
But yeah. The reality is there is 30 kids at Humber that want your gig.
Well, can they do it?
I mean, can they do it? That's a different question. But there are people who are chomping at the bit to get in.
No, Mel, they fucking can't. JJ, they can't. None of them can. Mm-hmm. No. We're watching it happen. Like that's yes, there are people going. And by the way, if you're going to fucking radio school or television school, stop, completely fucking stop. Go learn how to do WordPress and how to fucking upload a podcast and go get yourself a fucking microphone. Honest to Christ, stop. It's a diminishing industry. Nothing you could learn in that industry exists anymore. They don't even have the fucking cameras that they are teaching people to use in school in radio. Stop. But the other thing is that every single person, and I know this to be true because I've lived it and I've talked to people that have been in this industry, is every single person that's in that job now, not every one of them, a lot of them know that they're highly under fucking qualified to do it. So they fail and then they recycle another show. And then they bring in an American morning show, and then they move those guys to afternoons, and they bring them back in the morning, or they fire a morning show at the Edge every 6 to 9 months. You know, it's because they can't find people to do it because they're shit at it. That's and I hate to fuck it. Like I'm no great shake, but but I can tell you this is that. All of us could go into those radio stations tomorrow and do a significantly better job and get them the fucking ratings that they deserve and that they're asking for if you do it digitally first and if you do it with good people. That's my theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no one's listening anymore. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of students and radio people probably tuning in right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do when there's a radio person on.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's Dean Blundell too. I mean, Dean, you got to remember that. Like to me, you were even to us back in the day. I know for myself, it was like, shit, that's Dean Blundell. Like the show's so fucking big. And like, oh my God, you know,
for sure.
Students watch.
Good. I hope they do. And none of that means anything. You can see it's gone. All of it's gone. So what can you create today?
I don't think it's completely gone. I think there's still hope. And I don't know.
Show me. Show me right now. I'll watch. Listen, I would love to be wrong. I really would. But Mel, there you go again. Hey, just don't laugh too much. No, it's done, which is why people do stuff like this. JJ and Mel are our guests, Unfiltered with JJ and Melanie is the name of the podcast. And it's terrific. Radio legends in the city of Toronto. What I wanted to do before we say goodbye to you guys is I've got a comedian named Chris True, and I've got another guy named Brent Donnelly. They're going to join us in just a second. We're going to play a game called Hot Take Tournament. So we're going to do some radio here. Do you guys remember how to do that? You going to be all right?
Barely. I think we can do it.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do that coming up in a second. It's a Hot Take Tournament next at DeanBlundell.com. All right, welcome back to the DeanBlundell.com podcast, Dean Blundell Show. Hi, my name's Dean again. I'm so tired of saying it. JJ and Mel had a great segment with them. Fucking great people. They stuck around, which is even nicer because we want to do something. Please welcome to the program from the Brent Nunn Tour podcast, Mr. Brent Donnelly, ladies and gentlemen. Brent Nunn Tour podcast, Brent Donnelly. And comedian to the stars, New Orleans native, man among men, Mr. Chris True from a Good Morning Again. Hey. How you doing, buddy? Podcast at DeanBlundell.com. Good morning again.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Dude, you look good today. You look like you're ready to go. You've got a fucking really sweet headband on. You're ready to chew it up. Let's do this. We're doing something called the Hot Take Tournament. Now, I want to explain to everybody real quick. Chris is going to be in charge of this. He's going to really quickly go over this. We've kind of been briefed a little bit, so it won't take long. This is something new to DeanBlundell.com, courtesy of our friend Chris True. So, Chris, take it away. What is the Hot Take Tourney?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard of hot takes. If you haven't, you know what they are. It's a piece of deliberately provocative commentary. Maybe it's done because people are short on time. Maybe it's because something got them really damn heated. Or maybe it's coming from the heart. It's something truthful. But regardless, a hot take is something that is deliberately provocative, something that you may not even truly believe, but you are trying to make a point. In the Hot Take Tournament, we are giving points for making points. This is a game show, which is the sports and art of conversation. My name is Chris True. I am the host of the Hot Take Tournament, and I am pleased to be bringing it to DeanBlundell.com and the family here. The way it's going to go down, we have four guests. By the end of the show, by the end of the tournament, it'll be whittled down to one, the Hot Take champion. But these four guests, they have to get through a grueling round of topics. Everyone gets 1 minute to spew their fierce take on whatever topic I give them. They have up to a minute. I'm going to give away some points. There's going to be eliminations. There's going to be a jury. You know what? Let's just jump into who our contestants are. Let's get to know them a little bit. And then I will kick off the show formally. So, Dean, let's start off with you right now. This is your show. This is your platform. We are in your home right now. Why don't you just briefly, what is your favorite hot take of all time?
How are we doing?
Go ahead, Dean.
Fuck you guys. Okay, so it's not my fault. Christ. It's tech. It's show. Just tech.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the world of audio. Dean, why don't you just share?
I'm Dean. My favorite hot take of all time is how guys have to put the seat back down when we're done. That is total bullshit. Listen, equality being what it is, that seat stays up or stays down. Just stop fucking complaining. Doesn't matter to me. If it's up, it's up. Just like women can put the seat down for guys or up for us when they're done. It's part and parcel of why we all dislike each other so much. And it drives me crazy. Men and women need to come together around the fucking toilet seat.
Thank you so much, Dean. Welcome to the show. That is Dean Blundell, contestant number one. Contestant number two, let's welcome to the program Mel. Mel, please, why don't you share with the audience today, what are you most looking forward to in the Hot Take Tournament tonight?
Taking JJ down.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What did I do?
JJ promises to be a formidable competitor. Let's go ahead and meet JJ right now. JJ, where are you from, and what are you looking forward to tonight?
I'm looking to be entertained by all you fools, and then to obliterate you with my hot take.
I love it. Thank you so much for being part of the show, JJ. And last but not least, Brenton, who is typically on tour, but right now he is here on the Hot Take Tournament. Brent, welcome to the show. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm not on tour. I'm not happy about it, but there we are. We're here.
Hey, well, we are happy that you are here. We're happy you are a part of the show. I'm going to go ahead and put 1 minute on the clock, and we are going to kick this thing off formally, but hold on. Before that, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for me to officially welcome all of us to the Hot Take Tournament.
You got fire?
Yeah.
You got
right.
fire?
Wow.
Dude, you got fire behind you. That is incredible.
Ladies and gentlemen, round number one is on the clock. Now, hear me out. Okay. Halloween is in the rearview mirror, but the trademark dish from the second spookiest holiday, the first one being Easter, is year round. Your round one topic is candy. Dean Blundell, 1 minute on the clock. Give me your hottest take about candy.
I fucking love Halloween candy, and everybody that says that they don't or says that they don't pinch it from their fucking kids is wrong. Now, here's the thing. When you have kids, you have to institute something called the Halloween tax. Now, the Halloween tax is really simple. What you do when your kids come home is you dump all their shit on the floor and you go through and take all the stuff you like. With me, it's the O'Henry's first, Kit Kat second, hate the fucking candy corn, not taking the pencils or the coloring books. And by the way, if you give those out, you're a huge doucher, like a massive doucher. The kids, when they see those pencils, they look at you and they look at you putting that pencil in their bag and they think, what a piece of shit. To a kid, every kid thinks the exact same fucking thing. So, if you're a smart parent, what you're going to do is take your kids' candy as soon as they bring it in the house, leave them with the shit. Do I have to take up the whole minute, Chris? You weren't specific. Leave them with the shit, but don't forget, pass it off like you're checking for safety.
That is Dean Blundell.
Thank you.
Hottest take about candy. Thank you so much, Dean. We're keeping the train.
I just want to say one thing before we keep going. And this fucking contest was made for a bullshit artist like me.
This is a this bullshit art is the WrestleMania of bullshit artistry. Let's keep the train on the tracks. JJ, you are next. The topic is still candy. 1 minute on the clock. JJ, spit fire.
The introduction of candy to children at such a young age is the catalyst for the destruction of society. It teaches bad lessons from jump. What the fuck are you giving kids candy for? Look, I got candy. This motherfucker doesn't have candy. I got the candy. So now you've created a divide. You've created a separation, division among children. What is wrong with you? Why would you give currency to division and hatred and racism and sexism? Because you know the boys are going to hoard all the money and you know it's going to be the white boys. The white boys aren't going to share the candy with the girls and the boys and people of color. It's detrimental that you take candy away from kids, throw it in the fire, burn the candy, be done
seconds,
so that we can proceed as a unified community and society. Save the world, get rid of candy.
That was JJ.
Wow.
With a fire take on candy.
Really
thank
well
you
done.
So much, JJ. Well, well done.
I love how we turned Halloween into a racist exercise. Candy is now racist.
Yeah, like how do you even
2020,
follow
man.
That?
All right. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, the topic is still candy. We're still in round one where optimism reigns supreme. Please welcome to the arena. This is Brent. Brent, give us your hottest take on candy.
All right, I'm coming after the cancel culture motherfuckers on the candy, all right? So now we're into a space of candy and Halloween where we have to start trying to find the homes that are serving the vegan candy and all the different candies that don't have nuts. And there's milk chocolate in that. Oh, I've got a gluten allergy. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's always the fucking parents leading that charge because no three-year-old is on the vegan gluten train unless they've been fucking taught this bullshit. Candy and religion, one and the same. They both fucking go together. Your kid just wants a candy bar. And if you don't want him to have one with fucking nuts and you want him without milk because you're a fucking vegan and blah, 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 you're in the wrong business. It's all about the kids. Take your shit out. Fucking make it all about the fucking candy. For fuck's sakes, leave the shit out of it.
Scorching fire from Brent. Really nice work. Yeah, please take a sip of that coffee. I know you need it. I know you love it. And I need and love one more contestant to give us their hottest take. Welcome to the arena, y'all.
She's shitting
it is
her
Mel.
Pants, too, by the
Mel,
way.
Mel, 1 minute on the clock, your hottest take on candy. Go.
Look, I think the thing about candy, I don't understand why men don't understand. The key to my heart is candy. Like, why aren't you providing candy all the fucking time? I don't get it. I've made it fucking very obvious, very simple. This is the thing I want most. Give me the sweets. Give it to me all the time. Why don't you listen to that? It's the most basic thing. The key to my heart is literally candy. That's it.
Mike
well done. Well done. You know what she used? She used
I can't
her
follow
hot...
those ones.
No, you used your hotness against the candy. That's what she did.
Candy, all right, ladies and gentlemen. Euphemism for something else in that?
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the first round of the Hot Take Tournament. And I got good news for all of our contestants. You have survived one more topic here because we're going to start making cuts after our next round. These takes are all hot fire, though. I love what you're dealing with.
I got to do this again?
Yeah.
We got four rounds, Dean.
Can I just judge with you? I want to just judge with you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, our next topic. This is our DeanBlundell.com sponsored topic because if you've been watching, if you've been reading the blogs at DeanBlundell.com, you know recently that the most insane road rage incident happened, perhaps of all time. So in honor of my favorite blog post on DeanBlundell.com this week, I need to know your hot takes about road rage. The clock is dipping down a little bit. There's 45 seconds per contestant this round. JJ, road rage, go.
I'm all for road rage, and I'll tell you why. Because I'll be damned if a red light is going to tell me what to do. And green light, fuck you. What are you looking at? Why are all these signs, all these fucking rules, man? I pay my taxes. I work hard. I'm a black man living in Toronto.
Oh my God.
Just fucking let me drive how I want to drive. Listen, and besides that, if everybody would just be a little bit more courteous to each other, right? And forget the rules, then everybody would calm down a little bit. It's the signs that are turning everybody into rage monsters on the street. Fuck, too many signs, too many rules, like my sex life. Fuck.
I love it. JJ, really nice work. He's all for road rage. That is a definition.
That was a hell of a way
of a
to
hot
start.
Take. Yeah. Let's go to our
I'm
next
I'm all for road
here.
Rage.
Dean Blundell, you are up next. Road rage, 45 seconds.
Road rage. I happen to love it as well. And here's why. Because there are times when you're on the road and you're on the highway, whether you're merging, trying to merge, and you can't merge or you won't let someone else merge. That's when the best of our fucking personalities come out. That's when every trigger for me and everything that's happened during my day comes out. That's when I become the worst fucking person in the world. And for whatever reason, I'm a fuck excessive about it. To the point where I've followed guys home 30 kilometers out of my way just to get the shit out of their tailpipe. And it's not because I'm an asshole. It's just because it feels good. It's cathartic. So a little road rage isn't the worst.
All right. Thank you so much, Dean. Following people home and admitting it live on the internet's
Richmond Hill 10 years ago
comedy debate show. All right. We're still on road rage. We have two cars left on this highway. Brenton, you are next. Road rage. Go. 45 seconds.
Road rage is a byproduct of a Christian household. So this is where I'm going to go with this. You've been handed a book. You've been handed a book from the get-go, right out of the womb. You've been handed a book of rules to follow. In within that house, you're constantly being yelled at to follow the rules of the book. So road rage lends itself to driving down the street, a bunch of people not following the rules of a book. Most angry people, road rage people, most angry people are Christians. I'm leaving it at that.
I love it. He left 10 seconds on the clock, but he also left no stone unturned. Brent really went for the throat on that one. And we have one more person to go. Mel, are you ready to give us your hot take on road rage?
I'm ready.
45 seconds, go.
Okay, so I'm going to be the lone wolf in the room. I'm totally don't like road rage. I'm totally against it. It is ruining humanity. I mean, would you ever just stand beside someone in a room and go, fuck you, asshole? No, you wouldn't do that. You would not do that. Why do we feel compelled to do that when we're in a car and we think it's okay? It is ruining humanity as we know it.
Really good job.
There it is. Great. Thank you so much, Mel. You know, I never would have thought in a million years that the minority on the road rage topic would have been being against road rage. Everyone else was absolutely for road rage. And that's the exact kind of ridiculous shit you're going to get from the Hot Take Tournament. Thank you to all of our contestants for round number one. It is time to make our very first cut. But don't fear. Don't worry. You are just joining me in the pit of hell over here. You're going to be a jury member, and that means you get to make commentary and help me decide who the next cut is going to be. And I've crunched the numbers over here. It was a tight call. But unfortunately, my man Brent, you're going to be joining me in the pit of
fucking asshole.
Way to go. All right.
I see what's going on here. I pick on the fucking Bible and you put me in the pits of hell.
No, what? It's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing fucking to do with it. I thought you were great. But the problem is that someone has to go and you were just weaker than the pros.
I'm weak by trade, but
we've got two pros here and then some bullshit artist. You're going to lose
Brent,
every time.
God damn it, Chris.
I absolutely adore your takes and I need your perspective on
fair enough. By the way, I'm not for road rage. I'm blaming anger.
Hey, I totally get it. Hey, why don't we move on?
Moving on, let's go.
Round number two. This time, 30 seconds. Mere 30 seconds to spit the hottest take. Are you ready to hear the round number two topic?
Yes.
I heard a hell yes.
Hell yeah. All
right. Ladies and gentlemen, picture this. The alarm clock goes off. Your eyes peel open. The darkness outside is sobering. You turn your alarm off, but the clock is still ticking. There is a sunrise to catch, and if you don't hustle, then this will all be for nothing. Your topic for this next round is waking up early to see a sunrise. I want your 30 seconds hot take on waking up early to see a sunrise. Dean Blundell, the clock is on. Begin.
Waking up early to see a sunrise might be the most pointless exercise on the fucking planet. Here's why. You know it's going to come up. It does every single fucking day that you're alive. And when there's clouds, it won't. That's just fucking science. So if you're stupid enough to destroy your sleep just enough to get up to watch something that's going to happen every day for the rest of your natural born fucking life, go ahead. I won't be.
Blundell, the take, waking up to see the sunrise is the dumbest fucking thing you could do. I love that take. Let's keep this train going. Mel, you're up next. Your hot take on waking up to see a sunrise.
The dumbest thing you can do, it could be the last thing you do. It could be your last sunrise. You're not guaranteed the next 24 hours. Why would you miss the most beautiful thing that has been created? A sunrise. Do you know what kind of lighting you can get for a selfie with a sunrise? This shit is important. It's not stuff that you should miss. You don't have infinite days. You have to see the sunrise. Get up early. See it. That's when all the yogis get up. That's when all of the energy in the world is getting up. You got to be a part of that. You're missing out if not. You got to be a part of it.
Time. Good wow. Job. Beautiful. I like that one. Beautiful rebuttal from Mel.
She really stretched it out there. She took a different tack than I did.
There's room for one more taker in this round. If you know him, you love him. JJ, give us your hot take on waking up early to see the sunrise. 30 seconds.
I'm all about getting up early to see the sunrise because what is the biggest constraint of man right now? It's time. And the longer you're awake is the longer you have for opportunities to receive sex. So get up, be awake, because you just increase your chances of being awake for sex. That's it. Simple as that.
Wow, JJ.
More hours in a day, more sex.
You gotta take me out.
JJ, thank you so much.
Take me out.
All right, Brent, we have some work to do now. We have to somehow take these three takes about getting up early to watch the sunrise, and we have to eliminate somebody. I appreciated all of these takes. Did one stand out in particular for you, Brent?
Well, I think JJ made a really great point about more hours in the day. So he's moving to the safe island for me because the more hours that you can get in the day, I think that is good.
I love that. So you're going with the productivity angle there. It's very important.
Going to productivity, I'm gonna throw JJ into the safe island.
I love that. Okay, now we have to make one more cut here. It's between Dean Blundell, who said that he absolutely hated it and he thought it was one of the dumbest things you could possibly do, and Mel, who took, let's say, the opposite side of that same coin. She thought it was beautiful. She thought it produced a wonderful selfie. She had a lot of really lovely things
to
say about it.
Or she thought it produced great selfies.
So, Brent.
So, well, Brent, I mean, I think Mel just recently announced she's in love. So, currently, right now, she's enjoying probably the sunset, either wake up or go to sleep, and it's very romantic, which is why she's for it. But I am curious if she has the same take when she's single. Dean. Dean's this is just sticking to the Dean model. So I'm going to go because Dean, I'm moving you off the island.
All right.
Oh,
wow. Okay. Dean, have no fear. You are just joining in the pit of hell. Boy.
You were judging too, Chris.
No, well, you are the primary judge here. I'm hosting God. Right now.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. We're working out the fucking kinks, Brent.
Dean, you are joining Brent in the pit of hell. You can't win the show, but you can still win over the hearts, minds, bodies, and souls of all of our viewers. The winning possibilities is down to two people. Special guest JJ, special guest Mel, going one-on-one.
Well, look how that happened.
And the final round.
Didn't mean it. Hold it. Mel. JJ. None of this. Yeah. We didn't prearrange the outcome. Like, it wasn't us going, hey, let's put these two on the hot seat and see how they do.
All right.
My back's just as sweaty as yours.
All right.
Nailed it, by the way.
The final round of the hot take tournament is here. Are you ready for your topic?
Mm. All right, let's do it.
Okay. Look, I'm thankful for this show. I'm thankful for our finalists, for our producers. I'm even thankful for the jury. I'm thankful their actions have led to them being incapable of winning tonight's show while also being directly responsible for crowning the champion.
So fucking positive, Chris.
Thankfulness is in the air. Now, with American Thanksgiving right around the corner, I'm more thankful than ever. Now, I know we have some Canadians in the show, but that being said, our final round is specifically not Thanksgiving in general, specifically American Thanksgiving, because Canada, you guys already had yours. Your final round, American Thanksgiving. Give me your hottest take. JJ, you're on the clock. 30 seconds.
Let me just say out the box here that gratitude in general is overrated and bullshit. I see right through it. Lying bastards. Look, we know who you are, America. We watch TV. We've been watching the shit show that is your country. We know you're not grateful for anything right now. You are desperate. You're attention-seeking, egotistical, narcissistic, dumb fucks. All of you. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry. I know you're in the States. But you guys aren't gratitude. You guys don't know about gratitude or thankfulness.
Hi. Oh my goodness, AJ, you had miles, kilometers on that one. I know you did. Thank you so much for your time. And hey, you know, I live here. I don't rep it though. I don't go around wearing a USA jersey. You know, I understand. We do have one more take to get to you before
but,
we crown.
But hold it. Way to make it uncomfortable, JJ. That was incredible. I live for shit like that. You're just sewering the United States, and Chris is like it just smack dawned dab on me in the middle of it.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Hey, Chris, that's how angry Canadians get right there.
Yeah. Look, I'm at the very bottom of the map, but there was one place in the States that wasn't really the United States. You got to say it's New Orleans, Louisiana. We're barely hanging on, okay? All right. Mel, the final take of the evening. Give me your hottest take on American Thanksgiving. 30 seconds on the clock.
I mean, I don't know how to follow that one at all, but I'll just say this. Joe Biden, period. Just be grateful and thankful for that. Joe Biden. That's my answer.
That's a hot take.
That's it.
That's a hot take.
The hot take is that Joe Biden is the new mascot for America.
There you go. Exactly.
Joe Biden is a turkey. How about that? All right. Thank you so much, Mel. Thank you so much, JJ. I can barely hang on to this show. It is too hot in here. Let's figure out who is going home tonight's winner. Before we do that, I want to get our newest member of the journey, Dean. Mm-hmm. What are some of your initial thoughts on our final two contestants here, JJ and Mel, and their takes?
My thoughts are that I completely underestimated both of these two. Losing to a guy who just 5 seconds ago said he was built for this shit. I lost to two very, very good competitors. So let me just put that out there. Hey. I knew I would. It wasn't my intention to put them on the spot, even though they're both incredibly fucking uncomfortable right now. But you did great.
Yes.
JJ, I'm really, really impressed with both of you guys, but you seem to really You seem to really come alive with that last question.
Yeah, rage just under the surface most of the time.
From all the television you've been watching and all the things you've been seeing come across the television, so it's easily understandable. And Mel, just singing Joe Biden's praises, just a quick question, though. Is there anything about Joe Biden that is not attractive when it comes to an older man? Yes or no? I say no. I think Joe Biden's like the best looking senior citizen male on the planet.
He's all right. Yeah.
Or
he's
is
all
he too old? Is he too old to even get into that wheelhouse there?
He's a little old for me, but okay. He's all right. The only thing that's not attractive is just when he loses his words from time to time.
Right. Or some spit.
In comparison to what was there, I mean, he's Brad Pitt.
Much better. But I'm going to have to go with JJ. I'm sorry, Mel. I'm going to have to go with JJ.
No, it's fine.
I thought, and the great news is JJ has to do 5 extra minutes of this as a grand prize.
No. All right. Thank you so much, Dean.
That would be the best.
For JJ Brenton on tour. Toss your feedback here. Go ahead and let us know how you felt about that last round, and then please cast your vote.
Yeah. You know, Dean mentioned that he thought they were both uncomfortable, but I'd wager that's as comfortable as I've seen JJ since we met him on the network here, going for the jugular on our American friends. So, happy with that hot take from him. Mel's just making a general point on behalf of all Canadians, just saying thank you. So for the hot take, go for the jugular. I got to give it to JJ tonight, but Mel, nice take.
All right. Hey, big round of applause to our winner, JJ, our runner up, Mel. Your silver medal is in the mail. JJ, the parade is being scheduled as we speak. And of course, a big thank you. Some good old fashioned American gratitude for Dean Blundell and Brent, our members of the jury. Thank you so much for holding it down and helping us crown a winner. JJ, for the final thing of the evening.
There's a final thing.
I'm just starting to relax
now.
No, you can still relax on it. I just want you to take a little bit of a victory lap as the hot take champion. Where does this fit on your list of accomplishments as a human being on the planet Earth?
Bottom of the barrel.
Absolutely.
First thing I've ever done in my life.
I absolutely love
ridiculous.
It. Ladies and gentlemen, big ups to JJ. This has been the Hot Take Tournament, part of the DeanBlundell.com family of podcast shows, the blog. Check it all out. My name is Chris True. Thank you for watching the dumbest/smartest game show on the internet.
There you go, Chris True.
Chris True.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris True, Melanie Martin, JJ Laborde, and Brenton on tour. Guys, thanks for doing this. Thanks for being part of the podcast. Don't forget to check out JJ and Mel. They've got Unfiltered with JJ and Melanie at DeanBlundell.com, wherever you get your fine podcasts, on Patreon too, I believe, as well.
Yep.
And I was
Patreon.com.
shocked. You guys were talking about masturbation either this week or the week before. A lot about masturbation.
I feel like we talked about it a lot.
A lot of conversations about masturbating, which I got to tell you, piqued
What's
my
your
interest.
Hot take?
It's awesome. My hot take is that it's awesome. It's the best. I'm surprised I'm not totally blind. Anyway, check it out. Unfiltered with JJ and Melanie at DeanBlundell.com, where we get your fine podcast. Brenton on tour, his 50th. Congratulations,
what?
Dude.
Thanks, buddy. Brad. Thanks. Couldn't have done it without you, man. Thanks for having me here and all your team for all the help and all this stuff. So, yeah.
You're the team, dude. You're like
50 episodes. Well, I know the team. 50 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting.
50 episodes. Really, really good. Renee Paquette, who is also pregnant. You just interviewed her. That was terrific.
She dropped a bit. She dropped her brand new podcast to millions on the name of it on my show, which was pretty awesome of her. But she held back the pregnancy news yesterday. So that was cool, but I got it. Funny thing is I got hammered on the, afterwards. I got a whole bunch of people that came back and re-listened to that interview, seeing if she dropped it on there. So congrats.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. Yeah. Cause I saw that on Twitter the other day. She's just pregnant with the former WWE diva and her podcast.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? Anyway, so awesome. Thanks guys. Chris True, A Good Morning to Gamble is the name of his podcast. You can get it at DeanBlundell.com and Apple iTunes, wherever you can. Who's on this week? Who did you sewer this week? And what craziness did you put in your gambling this week?
Well, this week on the podcast, I had a I interviewed my first correspondent on the ground in Las Vegas. So I had a job interview with someone over there. But I'm about to record. I'm about to record this week's episode of Blind Lines, where I just I stay away from looking at the lines and I make snap judgments, quick reactions, gut instinct bets based off my first time seeing the lines. And I'm about to record that, and you'll be able to hear that tomorrow. And that's awesome. By the way, I'm 7-1 the past 2 weeks on bets since I started posting my bets on DeanBundell.com. Every Friday, the Friday forecast, I make 4 bets.
All right.
7-1 the past 2 weeks. Check the archives, baby.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to do it. And JJ Mel, you guys, sorry, you just recorded your podcast yesterday, is correct?
Yes, our 51st podcast.
God damn it. I lost.
One. Yeah, we record every Wednesday, release on Thursday. We call Thursday Friday Junior. It's an old throwback thing from radio. It's kind of my legacy. And
you didn't say our legacy, your legacy.
No, it's mine. It's
does it come me, with right? that yeah. funny little jingle that people make fun of you for?
That's it. Yeah. We talked about this week Rage Against the Machine and did they or did they not sell out? Ball sacks are heavily featured in this week's episode.
Why?
No, it's not ball sacks that were heavily featured. It's your gray hairs on your balls.
Well,
17 of them, I think you said.
Right.
You counted your gray ball hair.
All right. Well, you have to tune in and listen.
Well, no, I'm just asking you now because you're here. It's convenient.
Yeah. It's
you don't shave?
It's a bit of a long story. Well, you got to tune in. You got to tune in.
That's how you do that. You just shave, then they go away.
All right.
Right.
I didn't know that I hadn't shaved in a while. And then I realized, holy shit, I'm really gray down here.
Gray balls.
Yeah.
Lord Gray Balls.
That's right. Lord
Gray Balls, do you have any gray hair on your chest?
I don't have any chest hair. I'm
no
hairless up top. Yeah.
Are you really? Just the ball hair, eh? That's incredible. If you grew, can you grow hair? And all due respect, can you grow hair on the top?
A little bit. I'm thinning on the top.
What happens if you grew it? Would it be gray?
Look, stop touching your hair and shoving it in my face, you bastard. I know you have a glorious mane. You're wonderful.
It's going too, dude. It's going all the way up.
Is it?
Fuck, for sure it is. I'm fascinated that you guys covered his ball hair on your podcast. That's
so
fucking great.
Yeah. So am I.
Yeah, it's like the least.
I now
most...
know he has 17 of them.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
They're all gone now.
Not anymore. I'll tell you that. Anyway, thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. Check out Unfiltered with Melanie and JJ. And check out Brenton's 50th podcast. He's one behind.
No, 51 now because I 54 because we got the Kids on the Escalator podcast. Can I wrap that in there too?
No.
Fuck sakes, then it's 51.
Yeah. Kids in the Escalator with Chris Machete, which you can also find. It's great. They do the Mandalorian review and they put me on for the Borat review, and I was really good.
Okay.
Debatable, clearly.
No, I was good. Guy.
You were great. It was fantastic.
I think I made it.
You did.
Probably. Yeah. I probably did. Anyway, doesn't matter. Sort of does. But thanks, guys, for appreciate you doing this. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having us on, man.
All right. Melanie Martin, thanks, JJ Laborde, Brenton Donnelly, Chris True on the Dean Blundell Show here at DeanBlundell.com, brought to you by our friends at Blue Microphones, the Show Us Your Pod Contest. We want your podcast on the network, and we're looking for you. So all you got to do is go and cut and paste your podcast name, where we can find it. Go and enter at DeanBlundell.com. Click on the Show Us Your Pod Contest badge right on the front page. Take you all the way through. It's super easy to do too. You just leave your name, phone number, and stuff. We'll get in touch with you. Did you see those That Toronto guys today, Sean? They put out this this promo trying to bribe me so they could win the contest. I was like, I'll do it. I'm not above. Yeah, dude. If someone wants to give me a bunch of money to win a contest on a platform that I own, I don't think it's wrong.
Who's more of a Toronto guy than you, my friend?
Well, lots of people. I don't even like the Leafs, really. Fuck them.
North Toronto.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
GTA. I'm a GTAer. I'm a 905er. Anyway, go to the Show Us Your Pod Contest and enter to win. And you could win a brand new Blue Yeti X microphone, the one that we use here, the official microphone of DeanBlundell.com, these headphones, and a mic arm get you all set up. New podcast gear, courtesy of our friends at Blue Microphones. Owner's Box Fantasy Sports, premier fantasy sports playing, fully customizable. And right now, you get $100 bonus cash when you sign up. Super easy to do. Takes you like 30 seconds, all self-contained stuff. You want to have fun. You want to play some fantasy. If you do it already and you're already betting and you're already playing and the dailies are drilling your bank account, weekly fantasy sports is where it's at because you can play all week, same diff, but they'll push it into a couple more weeks for you. So you can play with owner's bucks. You can also play with that bonus cash, and you get $100 just to sign up when you put in your own $100. It's super easy to do. Ownersbox.com. Make Sundays fun again, for crying out loud. Ed's Fine Imports. Get Gitch. He has them. Best underwear on the planet. Luxury boxer briefs for men. I'm going to send some to JJ. He'll love them. Cover up. I don't know if you get all that nut hair in there. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we want you to have Ed's Gitch. Great for Christmas, too, because you don't really have to do anything. Go to edsfineimports.com. Use promo code GITCH3. Order some underwear for that loved one who identifies as male or is a male or used to think he was one or wants to be one. I don't really care. If they wear these underwear, you want to get them for your friends because they're the most comfortable Gitch on the planet. Gitch from edsfineimports.com. GITCH3 is your promo code. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. You can get us and sign up for our newsletter at deanblundell.com. That's it for me. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Bye.